Well, hey, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see all you guys. If you're new here with us, my name is John Wagler. I'm part of the team here, and so I don't know if this is your first time in church, or maybe you had a bad church experience before. You're trying to figure this whole Jesus thing out, or wherever you are, if you're a seasoned Christian vet. I'm just so happy that you're here. We've prayed for you. We have prayed for you before you even thought about coming here. And we hope that Hill City becomes a place you can call home. And just so grateful that you're sharing a part of your Sunday here with us. We are a couple of quick announcements. We have our small groups start up today. And so it's one of the best ways to get connected here at Hill City is finding a group to belong in. And so we've got a bunch of options on our website, hillcityrva.com, that you can see what fits for you there. I do want to highlight two groups on there because they're important. One, if you've said yes to Jesus or you've got questions about faith in general, and we have something called Starting Point, which is a great kind of first step to get you plugged in and in a conversation with some other folks about faith. And so it's a great class to be a part of. And then the other one is called Financial Peace. How many of you guys would love to live debt-free? Yeah? No? Okay. You're just like, I love my debt. It's great. Well, this group led by John King, who does a phenomenal job leading it, that's another option to choose from as well. And so great groups to sign up for. So we're in this series called Stronger, and it's all about relationships. And because our relationships are important, our relationships, we want them to be healthy and strong. And kind of the phrase you're going to keep hearing today is strong and immovable relationships. And I mean all relationships. I don't mean just if you're married. I think sometimes in church, we can idolize marriage a little bit, and maybe almost to the sinful point that we've like kind of elevated marriage over every other kind of like phase of life. And so we're not doing that. We don't do that here. So if you're single, like just you're on equal playing ground, okay? So you are welcomed and loved, and we think the world of you. And let me tell you something that maybe someone hasn't. You can have a very fulfilling, promising life being single, okay? And so marriage isn't the end-all, be-all to everything. But marriage is also important. And so we want to kind of cultivate the right things within our relationships. And so we're going to take a look at some different aspects throughout the series of what it means to have good, healthy, strong, immovable relationships. And so part of the reason is if you've ever been in an unhealthy relationship, you know how much it drains you. You know how much you just feel the weight of that. It can ruin your perspective on life and your enjoyment of life. And so we want to make sure we're moving in the right direction. And the thing that we need to be able to do is actually take some time to look at our relationships, to be able to articulate why they work. And so that's why we invest so much time in it and thinking about it, because if you can figure out why your relationship works well, then when something isn't going well or is broken, you know how to fix it. And so we want to be able to talk through some of those things and understand why relationships work and why they don't. And so last week we talked about how to manage conflict. And one of the things that we said was the greatest predictor of a healthy organization or relationship is how effectively they manage conflict. And so we looked at some mechanisms that we need to have in place for that. Next week, we're actually going to talk about sex. And so if you're like, oh, I want to bring my kids in, I mean, that's your call. But you're probably going to have some awkward conversations on your way home. And when you email me, my response is just going to be, I told you so. So our kids' environments are great. So we're going to talk about that next week. But this week, I want to talk about character, because character is something that's at the core of not only who we are as people. Character isn't what's happening outside of us or external. Character is like who we are in our very core of our being. And so I want to talk about that today because that transcends all relationships. I don't care if it's at work or at home or with friends or whatever it is. We have to have character and learn what it means to cultivate that to truly have strong and immovable relationships. We were in Nashville as a staff this past week for a conference. And I was looking out the hotel room at one point and the window, and I just saw there's so much construction going on in Nashville. But what was interesting was there are all these different phases, like right outside the building. There was one building that was completely finished, and they were just cleaning the windows. Another building where they were just painting the outside. Another one where they were digging for the foundation. Another one where the steel structure was up, but that was it. But what I was looking at outside was all the different layers of things that go into building a strong building, that go into having that finished building that have like some character to it. And I just started thinking, like, what a great analogy that is for our relationships, that we have all of these layers to everything, these little small things, right? You kind of start digging the foundation and all of that, and then you kind of put layer upon layer upon layer upon layer upon layer to try and build something strong and healthy. And we got to appreciate the small moments. As I reflected on what the Bible teaches about relationships, I started thinking about how in the Old Testament, if you're not familiar with the Bible is broken up into two sections, the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and the New Testament, which is the hinge point is Jesus when he came on the scene. And so in the Hebrew Scriptures, what we read through is they were always talking about building the temple. When they would build the temple, it was because it housed the presence of God. And why it was such a big deal was that's where people experience God in its fullness and where they felt like who they were supposed to be and their closest attachment to God. And so the temple was a big deal, but when they started mapping out how to build the temple, they had all of these small little details and seemingly didn't mean much on the front end, but it was very specific and very purposeful in the way that they were designed, the materials that they used, the room sizes, all of that, who could go in and what room and all of those things, because there was a process to all of it that enabled people to get the most of the temple, the most of the building, and the most of the and the feeling and the presence of God. And so it was this massive ordeal, but it always started with small little plans. And so in Zechariah 4:10, it even says this. It says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." And so what they're saying is like, I get it. Like, you want the temple. You want the big thing. But you know what? It takes all of these small things to get there. And it's the same thing with our relationships. We want character. We want strong relationships. We want to be immovable in who we are. But quite often, we ignore all the small things. The small things that could either build us up or the small things that are actually eroding our character. When Jesus comes on the scene, he moves it away from talking about a place, and he starts talking about what's being built inside of us. And he starts teaching still about like small things. He would reference like seeds and how they would grow into something far bigger. He would talk about the faith of a child, a small child, and why that was so important. He would use a small meal and feed 5,000 people. And so it was always like kind of focusing in on the small things building into something larger. And he began to teach something in the Sermon on the Mount, which is his longest recorded sermon. In Matthew 5:8, he says this. He says that God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And so what Jesus is saying there, he's saying, hey, if you want to see more of God in your life, then you've got to start paying attention to the little ways about your heart being pure. The thoughts, your opinions, your words, your actions. Are you thinking about what it means to move towards purity? Because when that happens, then you'll see more of God. And I don't know, I mean, to me, that sounds like such a good idea. That you're telling me that if I move closer to more pure things, that I'll see more of God in my life. And I think we know the opposite is also true. When you move away from things that are pure, it's not like you're making bad decisions, you're doing things that are kind of opposite of the teachings of Jesus. It's not like you're sitting there being like, ooh, I feel so close to God right now. Those are those moments where you feel like, where is God in my life? And you kind of feel so distant. But what Jesus is teaching is like, no, what needs to be built inside of us to have a strong relationship and to be kind of build up that character that we need is a purity and to value that purity. And when we do that, we'll see more of him. In Matthew 5:13-14, he says this. He says, "You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop." That's where we get Hill City from. "And that cannot be hidden." And so think about this. So Jesus is continuing to teach. He's like, this core component of who you are. How many of you guys like salt on your food? Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. As you get older, your taste buds die. And so it's just like a thing, all right? So just know this. That's why, like, as you get older, you're sipping, no, you know, it needs a little more salt, a little more salt. And so, but what happens, what is that? It's the seasoning. It's the preserving. It's at the core level. You take that out of salt, and it's nothing. And so Jesus is saying, hey, that you need that seasoning, that preserving of what you're supposed to be, who you're designed to be, at the inner core, the character, a very inner being of who you are. He also says, you'll be the light of the world, and you can't be the light, the shine of who Jesus is if you don't have strong character. And so he's constantly pushing in to what's going on inside of you. Paul does the same things. Paul was a writer. He was one of the early leaders of the Christian church. And he wrote all these letters back to the churches that he had been around for a couple years. And so we've read through them a little bit in the first week too. But he writes some interesting things about what to focus on with our character. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 and 27, he says this: "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful." Now, he's not saying you can't be wealthy. He's not saying you can't have a position of power, anything like that. But what he is saying is that what's most important is character. What's most important is what is going on inside of you. And that when what God values is something opposite than the world values. What God values is what's going on inside. What the world values is what's happening outside. You know, so we don't see a lot of magazines. If you're at the grocery store, you don't see a lot of magazines that are like, "Hey, look at these three men with great character," you know, or "Man, look at this wonderful marriage and how they treated and loved each other." Like, it's not what you see. You see a bunch of quick fixes. Like, how do I get abs in 1.5 minutes without having to work out? Like, how do I, like those are the kind of things that you try and figure out. And so, but here's the thing. Character is not a quick fix. It's a lifelong commitment. Now, it's important to realize that because we're always going to be developing, we're always going to be changing, we're always going to be tweaking. Like, that's what character is. It's a constant building till the day you die. You don't ever stop, like learning. You don't ever stop growing. You don't all of a sudden get to, like, "Oh, I'm 78 now, and I've just, like, I've got it. I'm good." No, it's a constant thing that we're always learning and growing to the very end of our lives. Not if 78 is the end of your life, but like that, to the very end of our lives. It matters. You know, sometimes we get so attracted to charisma, though. We'd rather have charisma than character quite often. And charisma is a good thing. I'm not saying it's not a good thing, but charisma is attractive. Charisma can kind of, it can help like move a crowd and all those things and get people going. I mean, you probably have noticed this before in your life. How many of you guys have ever dated someone that you regretted dating? Be honest. Yeah, it's like everybody, right? Some of you guys are like, "Well, yeah." But you know what it was at that point in time? It was you were attracted to the charisma of somebody. And it feels good on the front end, but it can't sustain it. Only character can. See, the more, like, as you kind of got closer and you saw the character in people or the person you were dating, you started realizing, "Oh, this isn't a good fit. This isn't right." And so then you make a choice. Do I want to follow the charisma or do I want to go after character? And so we have choices in this all the time. Paul even says this in Galatians 6:7. He says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Maybe you've heard it this way. You'll reap what you sow. And so when you think about where your relationships are at, it's a result of what you've sowed into them or not. And so if you think, and I always say this to people, like, healthy marriages and unhealthy marriages happen by choice. It's a choice by both parties, okay? So it's a choice. If you want a healthy marriage, everyone can have a healthy, it's possible that everyone can have a healthy marriage if we choose to do so. And so it's like, what are you sowing into things? Because then you've reaped what you've sowed, or you harvest what you've planted. And it's important to think about those things. And so here's a couple of questions you can ask yourselves when it comes to just thinking about what I'm planting in my life. Are you paying attention to the small things that are building the infrastructure of your soul? So when you're, and the reason why we ask questions, or why I ask questions all the time, is because I want you guys to, like, be thinkers about your faith and think about how you respond. And so when someone says, "Hey, are you doing anything to build your character?" You can, like, say, "Yeah, here are the few things that I'm doing." And so, like, we got to understand, what are the things that are building the infrastructure of my soul right now? And these small things, are they eroding my character or are they building it? And so having some time to reflect on those. Another great question you can ask yourself is, do you focus more on competency or character? Competency or character? Now, I'm a fan of competency. Like, you should want to increase your skills. You should want to be better at your job. All of those things. I'm a huge fan of that. But not to forsake character. If you think about, we were just at that conference in Nashville, and that was to be better at what we do. And we took 3 days to do that. The question is, would you take 3 days, if someone's like, "Hey, we got a character conference happening?" Would you be like, yes, a character conference, I can't wait? Or would you be like, no, I just want to do the thing where I get better at what I do, be better at my skills. Skills are awesome, but you know what? Those things are fleeting, whereas character is lifelong. Can you imagine if in our school systems we focused a little more on character rather than competency? And listen, we should learn. There should be grades and those things, but the focus is always what? Get good grades, go to the school, get this kind of job, and like that's what we're kind of indoctrinating our kids with, and then we miss out on the character part, and we're like, wait, where's your character? We've always focused on the wrong things consistently. And so it's important for all of us as adults even to be asking ourselves that question. How am I focusing on character in my life? I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says this, and this is where we got the phrase from. My dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. You know, when I read this passage originally as I was taking notes for this sermon, the strong and the movable part was the one that I was originally focusing on because I was like, yes, that's what I want relationships to be. That's what we got to fight for and everything. But then what really caught my eye was the last part where it says, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And I started thinking about past friendships that I've had or like jobs that I had when I was in the business world or anyone that I dated. And in those moments that I thought about, they were useless to some degree. They felt like they weren't leading me anywhere. There was no purpose or design or whatever to why some of those relationships were happening. I was like, I wonder what would happen if I just thought about those, when I was friends with those people, that this is for the Lord right now. I wonder how much that would have shifted my thinking. I worked my first job out of college. Like, I didn't love it. I was like, fine. I mean, I learned a lot, but I didn't love it. But I wonder if I would kind of switch and thought, this job's for the Lord. I wonder how that would have changed. So you might go to work tomorrow and you might hate your job. You might, like the thought of waking up on Monday morning for your job or the thought of waking up Monday morning for your class you've got to go to at school or whatever it is. But what if you woke up and said this, and I get to go to class today for the Lord. I get to go to work today for the Lord. What would begin to change? What would begin to change if you looked at your husband or you looked at your wife and you said, this marriage is for the Lord. Every wedding I ever do and every single ceremony, I always put this line in there. I said, if you grow in your faith and your love of Jesus, it's impossible not to grow in your love of your spouse. You can't love Jesus more and then love people less. It's literally the opposite of the Bible. So if you're not loving people more than like in the midst of loving Jesus more, like then you're not actually loving Jesus more. It's a shell game. And so it's this idea that we've got these choices to build inside of us. And if we want to be strong and immovable, start seeing everything as for the Lord. But the problem is, what do? We focus on the external of everything. You know, social media obviously plays a role in this. And you see, we'll look at it like, oh, they must be the best parents in the world. And we judge people's character on what we see externally. I'm like, look at their kids. They're holding hands in the store. That's amazing. Meanwhile, you don't know that the mom or dad was sitting there being like, just hold her hand for 5 more seconds. We got to get this, right? Like, that's what parents are doing all the time. And so, but like, the comment on it is like, oh, I love how they love each other. Well, anyway, so we see like that this happens with, we judge the character of things on the external moments. But that's not what really matters. I mean, even our athletes, and I love sports, but even like last night I was watching the NBA playoffs and I saw this guy dunk and he kind of celebrates after the dunk like he just did something. I'm just thinking to myself, you're 7 feet tall. Like, you should be able to dunk and you did nothing to be 7 feet tall. You know, it's like God just made you that way. And so, but like, what do? It's all on the external things, on the in this focus about me kind of like mindset. Even with our high school students, I was reading some research about, in 1950, they did a survey and asked high school students if they thought they were very important people. And 12% of high school students responded, yes, they're very important people. In 2005, they did the same study, and 80% of high school students said that they're very important people. And that number's actually grown since they did it 10 years later. So it's just interesting how the pendulum just kind of, you know, the focus changes a little bit. And then in 1976, they asked high school students to rank their most important things, and fame was 15th on average on the list. Today, when they run that same survey, it's in the top three all the time. And so the pendulum has swung. Now, you might be thinking, yep, kids these days. But you know, it's parents that cultivate the things that kids think are important. So it shouldn't be kids these days. It should be, oh, parents these days. Why? Because they focus on the wrong things, trying to build the wrong things. The character's way more important. This is why I love when, the protests recently that happened. And I'm not making a statement on the protests. I love seeing all these students leading all of this stuff. And at the heart of what's happening, because you know what they're saying? They're saying, this whole thing's broken. It's broken. The violence is out of control. What you've told us to focus on, hey adults, what you've told us to focus on isn't working. It's broken. And they're making this large statement. Now, regardless of if you agree with why they were protesting, whatever, it is broken. And it's the Generation Z and the young millennials that are screaming, we've got to focus on something else. And that something else is character. That something else is a purity that allows us to see more of God. And that's what Paul is actually pressing into in this passage. I think a great question we can ask ourselves to understand whether or not we have a self-inflated view is what areas in your life are broken? Where's the brokenness in your own life? Because here's what I know about 100% of humans on the face of this planet is that we all have areas of brokenness. And if we can't begin to describe that or articulate what those areas are, then the reality is we have a little inflated view of ourselves. And so that becomes a challenge, becomes a big challenge of what we're choosing to build inside of us. But how do we do that? Because if we aren't building character now, we're telling our future self and relationships that we just don't care. So if we aren't concentrating on building character, here's just what we're saying. Just go ahead, go into your Google Calendar today and just be like a year from now. Just put a meeting that just says, ha-ha, I didn't care, okay, about yourself, all right? If you want, like when you go home, if you're married today, just push a piece of paper across the table and say, I just don't care about us 5 years from now. Because that's the reality. When we aren't trying to make decisions now building our character, that's what we're doing. We're just telling our future selves we just don't care. So how do we do that? And so I just want to ask some practical questions for us. The first question is this. Do you have a daily time of reflection to fight against pride and obsessive self-love? I spoke at length at this during our EQ series about Sabbath and the importance of it. We should all, on a daily, every single day, we should have a time of solitude and silence. No question. I'm not saying it has to be a half hour long each time or anything, but we need times of solitude and silence. And then we need a weekly rhythm of Sabbath. We've got to have Sabbath built in to our schedule. It's not even like an ask. Like that was part of how God designed us to rest. And so what solitude, silence, and Sabbath does for us, it allows us to learn to rest and refresh. And what that allows us to do, too, is you take a step back and you have time of reflection and say, okay, how am I just making my life about me? Why is this all, am I consumed about my own selfish needs and desires? And am I serving other people? Am I building others up? Am I generous? Like, kind of working through all those things, having moments to be able to do that. It's critical to our growth. And the second question is this. Do you have people around you that you've given permission to speak truth into your life? This is a really big deal. Do your friends in your life, do you have people who can say, hey, man, like I don't like what I see there. Or you're making these decisions right now, that's gonna crush your marriage. Or you make it, like, gosh, you're going to get fired if you keep doing that. Do you have people around you, great friends? How about this, if you are married, go home tonight and ask your spouse, honestly, do you feel comfortable calling me out on something? I'm not talking about nagging or anything. I'm talking about like genuine like conversation of like, hey, I see this in you and I'm concerned. Would your spouse say, I feel very comfortable doing that? It's an important question to ask and understand, because that kind of tells us where our relationships are at and whether or not there's some unhealthy nature there that we need to fix. We work really hard here at Hill City with our staff to build the right culture with this, and we're not perfect at it by any means, but we talk a lot about it. And something happened a few weeks ago. So we do four services, so I speak four times every Sunday, and usually like the 9:45 and the 11 are the most kind of tight, and 4 o'clock, my filter gets a little bit lower, so we get a little wild at 4 o'clock, and 8:30, I sometimes can say some things I maybe regret. So at 8:30, what happens is a few weeks ago, I said something, I made a comment, and Natalie, who's up here singing, who's part of our staff, and it wasn't like a extremely offensive comment or anything, but here's what she did, which I just loved. She came up to me in between the services and said, "Hey, you made this comment, and it could be like offensive to other people, and maybe you want to reword that." And here's why this is a beautiful thing. One, technically I'm Natalie's boss, but two, I'm 17 years older than she is. All right, she's 24 years old, so I'm 17 years older than she is. And here's what I love about it, though. She cared enough about who I am as a speaker to say that. She cared enough about everyone in here, about what they were experiencing to say something. And she cared enough that, and for me, like as I kind of received what she was saying, why I appreciate it was because, you know what, it was a weakness in what I said and a weakness in how I was thinking at that moment. So I just appreciated that a lot. And it's something that we need to like cultivate with everyone in every relationship. And again, this is at home, this is at work, this is like, think about how that maybe building in character and this kind of thought process to people you lead at work. Wouldn't it be great to have a work environment like that? And so it deeply matters. The third thing is this: are you willing to be as committed to strengthening your character as you've been to the things that have taken it away? And what I mean by that is, if we think about things we have in our life that maybe are bad habits that actually have been chipping away at our character, or certain things that we've accepted or tolerated as just normative that have chipped away at our marriage or chipped away at our friendships or our work relationships, or as we've parented our kids. Like, have there been things that you know, just kind of just become desensitized to and be like, this is just the way it is, or this is the way I am? But what if you were like really committed to strengthening the character of all those things? The Bachelorette was here this past week. And I know I talked about the Bachelor a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to do it again because it's just low-hanging fruit. So it was, and if you were in line and you went, I'm sorry from what I'm about to say. So I'm watching pictures of this, and I just feel like that show is like all that's wrong with how we view love and relationships in our world. But I'm watching people line up for this. Like, I'm seeing pictures. And here's what just, like, strikes me. If you were there, again, that's your call. But I'm watching this happen, and I'm thinking to myself, these people made time for this. They cleared their schedules for this. They made sure that they would wait in line to get to this that has, like, no redeeming value, to, like, come to be a part of it and see this. Like, they made time for it. And on the same day, I'm looking at these pictures. This guy named Chris Beach, who runs Relationship Foundation, it's a nonprofit here in Richmond, wonderful guy, and we're co-sponsoring this event as a church for Gary Chapman to come into town. He wrote the 5 Love Languages, and because we want to help invest in marriages and stuff like that. And I'm thinking to myself, are people going to line up for Gary Chapman? Are people going to clear their calendars? Are they going to be so excited that Gary walks out on stage? And maybe some of the folks in line weren't married, and maybe they that's just their little guilty pleasure, I don't know. But I'm like, isn't that sad? We get so much, we'd rather invest in that than the things that actually will build character and build our relationships. You know, Jesus was pretty serious about this part. He said this in Matthew 5, 27. He's aggressive here. He says, "You've heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Now, clearly, Jesus is being metaphorical here. Otherwise, there'd be a bunch of eyeless, handless people everywhere. But what he's saying is like how serious it is to cut out anything that could take you away from him. Cut out anything that takes away from the purity of your heart and your mind. Cut it out and be aggressive about it. He doesn't say, you know what, just like, it'll be fine, don't worry. No, he's like, cut it out, gouge it out. That's how serious Jesus wants to be. You might be thinking, yeah, but that's hard. I know it is. But here's what else I know. Character-driven people won't let lack of discipline hurt their relationships. See, when we become more character-driven, here's what we begin to see. Man, the discipline to do the right things, the discipline to have the right mindset, the discipline to honor our time, everything, the discipline to do that becomes way easier when we're character-driven, because of how concerned we are for the right things and building the right things inside of us. We're doing something together as a staff, and this guy, Kerry Newhoff, it's a leadership development thing, videos that we're watching. And he said this, and this is, like, it stuck out to me about discipline. He said, think about the person in your life that you look up to, or the leader you look up to, or the couple you wish you were, or whatever. They have the same amount of time in a day as you do. And what he was saying was, some people are like, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. I don't have, and all these other things. And what stuck out to me, I was like, man, if we really want what's best, if we really want to build the right things in us, we'll make the time to do so. If we really want to develop the relationships that we want to have, we'll be disciplined enough to do it. But we have a choice. Every day, with every relationship, we have a choice. A couple more questions. Quickly, do you see your time of waiting as an opportunity to strengthen your character? So whatever you're waiting for, that new job, what if you saw your job that you're in right now that you despise tomorrow morning? What if you saw that job? It's like, man, what are you doing? I'm doing this for you. What are you building inside of me? So that when that new position comes, man, you are the right person for that job. If you're waiting for a child, let's say, are you cultivating the right things in your marriage? So that when that child comes into this world, they see a healthy mom and dad. What about if you are waiting for your man or your woman you want to get married? Are you building the kind of character that man or woman would want to see in their future husband or wife right now? Like, are we using these times, this time of waiting, to strengthen our character? The last one is this. Do you choose lower love over higher love? Do you choose lower love over higher love? And here's what this one means. You can love your job, but are you choosing the love of your job over the love of your family, the love of your community, maybe even the love of God? Those are all higher loves. Those are higher loves. So are you choosing the lower love over higher loves? And begin to kind of dissect the things in your life that you're choosing to spend all your time on, and just paying attention. Are you choosing something over higher loves? In the end, here's what happens when we build character. Our joy increases. Our perseverance increases. Our discipline increases. Our curiosity of life increases. And then the end result is strong and immovable relationships. No matter what life throws at you, when we're character-driven people, we will be strong and immovable. Let's pray. God, you give us a choice. It's important to remember we've got a choice. God, we believe that following you is where we discover our true hope and our true passion, our true identity. It's where we discover fulfillment in our lives. But we also have a choice to choose something opposite of that. We could choose to go our own way. But we also understand that in those moments, when we go our own way, we'll always be running, we'll always be chasing, we'll always be searching. But you say, God, that if we knock, that you'll answer. If we seek, we'll find you. And that we can discover more of you. And so tonight, just as we've prayed in every single service, tonight we've got a choice to make. And right now, God, I know that you're speaking to us, and the prayers is that we'll have sensitive hearts to listen and be accepting of that conviction that will drive us closer to you. And in the end, we will be known for our strong, immovable relationships built on incredible character that is all done for you and you alone. In your name we pray, everybody said. Amen. A couple of things. One,